Genesteel offer full-service structural steel to leading industrial and residential builders across all metropolitan Melbourne and regional areas of Victoria. At Genesteel, we take pride in our product, service and reputation. With over 40 years industry experience, Genesteel manages all aspects of steel fabrication, from on-site measuring, in-house drafting, fabrication, through to full site installation. We work closely with our customers to deliver innovative solutions to facilitate projects of any size. For further information, please contact genesteel.com.au or contact the company on 03 9465 1287.
Preston, Preston,
speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo. Near post, Zinni. It's in. And again, Warren Speak has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there! And it's
through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
Yes, hello and welcome once again to the official Preston Lions Club show here live on FNR Football Nation Radio and on the Preston Lions Club Facebook page. I'm Josh Parrish. No Dace Fetkovsky this week, unfortunately, but fortunately, in his stead, we have club historian Chris Terpos. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh. Fantastic to be here, mate.
And of course, we have a very special guest sitting with us right here in the studio. But first, Chris, let's get into some club news, ins and outs.
Yep, let's get into a bit of news straight off the bat. I've had a big week down at the club. We, of course, had the start of the home and away season for our senior women's teams on Friday night, and we'll be speaking, obviously, with one of the very happy members of our women's team about that very shortly, because they had a great win first up against Bundoora. We also had the juniors and mini-roos season kick off on Sunday as well, which was very exciting and a long time coming for all the kids and parents and coaches, so that was great. We also had the annual Mad Rush on Friday night, Josh. Trying to get the last of all the kids, all the stragglers, registered in time for Sunday, which is always a bit of a struggle every year. And our good friends at the FFA obviously put together a new registration system for everyone this year, which made it all that more hectic, but we got through it in the end. And a big shout out to our junior coordinators, Ivan Trajkovski and Gordana Kaleski, and also our technical director, Nick Radecki, for all their efforts there. And we managed to get them all registered and ready to go on the Sunday. And yeah, just to quickly summarise some of those results from the junior teams over the weekend, the boys under 12 Kangaroos defeated Craigieburn City 4-1. The boys under 12 Wallabies were actually awarded a 3-0 win against Moreland Eagles, who forfeited that match, unfortunately. The boys under 13A went down 2-1 against Mill Park. The boys under 14Bs also lost 6-1 against FC Birrarung. The under 15As had a really strong 6-2 win against Hume United. The boys under 16B drew nil all with Clifton Hill. And the boys under 18As had a bye this weekend. And yeah, just in some other news regarding the juniors, I'm told that this week our junior goalkeepers have actually started their specialist goalkeeper training sessions under the guidance of our head goalkeeper coach, Gotze Gruevski, who many of our listeners, I'm sure, would know that has been around the club for the better part of the past decade or so. And he's a former Macedonian international, so it's great to those youngsters are getting the opportunity and the extra development as part of the Preston Pathway program. And of course, on Sunday, we also had the men's team taking on Essendon Royals at home, which ended in a nil-all stalemate. And we'll be joined later on by one of the men's players for their thoughts on that and also their take on the weekend ahead. And just quickly, apart from this weekend's games coming up, looking a little further ahead, we have the women's team have their next Nike FC Cup game coming up next Thursday evening. So it's going to be on the same time as our show, Josh. So we might have to give Dave a call at the game for a couple of score updates as we're on the radio live, I think, mate, which I'm sure we can do that.
Absolutely. We have the technology.
All good. The girls travel up to Ballarat for that one. It's a 7:30 p.m. game, so very much looking forward to that. And the men's team also have their FFA Cup tie against Dandenong City on Saturday week. So that's Easter Saturday, and that'll be a home game at Genesis Steel Stadium. So big couple of weekends coming up for the boys because they've got an important game this Sunday as well.
I tell you what, I was at the Dandy City game on Friday with fellow FNR Athos Sirianos, who's the Oakley media manager. And we went down to have a little bit of a scout, see how Dandy City are doing. And I reckon we're a chance.
Yep,
I reckon Preston are a chance. I think it's a few divisions between, but as far as cup sets go, you know, it's all to play for sure.
I reckon we've got a great chance, so we'll see what the boys can do. And finally, we've had the issue of a bit of a late arrival for our playing kits this year, so which we all know about, and we're praying that all the Guernseys for our men's, women's, and junior teams will be arriving this week. We're informed, so
knocking on every wooden surface available, crossing fingers, crossing toes.
That sounds like it.
Hopefully, as soon as they come in, they will be available for purchase.
100%.
Yep.
100%.
All right.
So just stay tuned to our Facebook for some announcements and prices regarding those. That about wraps up the news for this weekend, Josh. So I'll hand it over to you to introduce our first guest.
Yes, absolutely. From the senior women's team, we have new 2019 new signing, central midfield dynamo, Claudia DeMarsi, in with us in studio. Claudia, welcome to FNR.
Thanks for having me.
It's fantastic to have you on the show. Firstly, take us through your last game. It's been a fantastic start by the women's team. How did you see it?
First game of the season, of course, had to be against my old team. The girls, honestly, the scoreboard showed it all. Like 4-0, we could have won a bit more. The girls played really well together and it was a good first game of the season.
So, obviously, a dream start. And what were the main positives that you took from that game? Obviously, there are a lot of them. And what are a couple of things you think can still be worked on?
Positive, I think we did play pretty well together, considering, like, we've played a couple of games, but that was our real proper game. So, we did gel as a team. Negatives, I don't know.
maybe, difficult to say.
Maybe kicking it away from the keeper. We had a lot of chances in the first 5 minutes, but I can't really think of anything. Round one, so it's always up from there.
So you mentioned that you had played at Bundoora for the previous, seven or eight seasons, is that right?
I think it was about seven years.
Yeah. So what was it like coming up against them, like straight away, your first game for a new club and up against your old team and no doubt still a few friends at the club?
Yeah.
Was there a bit of banter out on the field and a few nice words said?
There was actually a lot of banter. First time I got the ball, one of my friends, close friends, she literally took me down, but it was all it was all in the love of the game. You know, I've played there for seven seasons. So it was hard facing them first round, but the Preston girls are really good. I was really nervous like all week, but the girls are really positive and I'm happy that we got away for the win. Hopefully we can beat them again, but that's Bundoora's ground again. Like I've played there for so long, so we'll see how we go.
Cool. Now it was pretty warm conditions on Friday night. Actually, I think it was about 25 degrees, and the crowd really came out in force for that game. Did you know the noise and the having all the people there and the noise just spurred you on for a really good game?
Yeah, actually, like there was such a big hype about the game. And I knew so many people coming, but once I was on the field, I didn't expect to have that many people there. And I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who came down. And, like, just when we scored the roar after the game, it was just amazing.
And 7 years at one club, that's not an insignificant stint. So it must have been hard to make that decision to change. What prompted your decision to come over to the Lions?
It was hard, I won't lie. I did get begged a lot, but I'm happy with my decision. One of the main reasons was Luca. Like, I've known him for so long. He's been my coach throughout school. And also, like, I knew a couple of the girls and I just felt like it was time for something different. So, yeah, why not go to my rival club? So, but Preston Bundoora, I used to have, well, they still do have a rival. So now I'm on the opposite team. So, yeah.
And the notes prepared for me kindly by the absent Dave Svetkovsky say you're a fierce competitor, not afraid to give as good as you get in central midfield. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I don't know.
A bit of white line fever?
Yeah. I don't know. It was a bit hard against my old team, so I couldn't really go in as I usually do, but still 17 games to go, so hopefully guys can see a couple slide tackles that I'm known for. But I haven't done any yet, so hopefully maybe this week we'll see.
What are some of the other qualities that you bring to Preston, you know, whether it's as a player or just as a person? Because as I understand it, you've really taken a lead in buying into the culture down at the club under Coach Luca, as you mentioned earlier. So what are some of those other qualities that you think you bring to the group?
I don't know. Hopefully I'm nice. I think that I get along with most people. So, yep. And like I said, the girls are really welcoming. So it was helped. It's just such a positive vibe to be around. Yep. I don't know.
Yep. They're a close-knit group.
Yeah, very close. And like most of the team, like I just met this year. So like considering how close we are, you wouldn't have picked it. It's like we've been playing together for life, honestly. So,
excellent. Yeah.
Is that just luck or is something being done in pre-season to help knit the group together?
Pre-season, like, I came a bit later, so I literally didn't know most of the girls. But Luca, he's, you know, throughout pre-season, I was hearing about how good it was, how close the girls have been. And like I said, as soon as I came to the team, I just felt like I've been a part of it the whole time. So the girls, they've gelled really well. The coaching staff, like, it's just a really good environment to be in.
And I hear Luca is a coach with pretty exacting standards. He doesn't usually, you know, let anything slide if it's not up to what he expects.
Yeah, Luca's straightforward, and like as a player, that's what drives you to play to your best. But yeah, Luca's great. David's great. All the coaches are really good.
And that coaching team has been together for quite some time, as we learnt from the women's launch the other week. And they seem to have, you know, a fairly good plan of what they're working towards this season. Seems to be a good chemistry within the coaching staff as well as the playing group.
Yeah, so like I said, the coaching staff, like, they've known each other for a while, I'm pretty sure. And you can see it, like, they just get along so well. And, like, every training session, like, they know what they're doing. Like, they work together and it's really, really organised. So that helps us as well as a team.
Yeah, there was plenty of excitement in the change rooms after the game, singing the song. We all saw the footage on Facebook, and I actually saw someone holding up the phone. I'm guessing they were trying to sing the words from the phone because they didn't know the words. Was that wasn't you? Was it?
That was not me. I had no idea what I was singing. I was just copying. It was Liz. I thought she would have known the song, so I was a bit surprised. But yeah, it was good. It was good to sing the song, but. Yeah, I had no idea what any of the words were, so hopefully we can sing it a couple more times.
That was good. It was sung with plenty of gusto, that's for sure.
And obviously, hopefully there'll be more opportunities to learn those words throughout the rest of the season. But what does it mean coming to a club like Preston with such a history, such a sort of ingrained culture, having to adapt to all of that as well?
Like I said, like, my old club, like, Preston's massive compared to, like, any other club I've been at. And, like, you can tell, like, being here tonight, like, it just feels amazing. Like, I've never been a part of anything like this. And I've been playing soccer for, like, my whole life. So, yeah.
Well, let's look ahead to this weekend. The women are away to Moreland Eagles, I think it is. Or Moreland Zebras.
Zebras, yep. Yeah.
There's about 16 Moreland
teams. Yeah, there's quite a few of them, isn't there?
It gets quite confusing.
I'm with you there, Josh. So, yeah, this Sunday at Dee Cheney Reserve in Coburg, with your reserves kicking off at 11 a.m. and the seniors at 1 p.m. So another local derby. What's been the focus at training this week leading into that game, and what do you think you can expect from Moreland?
I was actually at their cup, their first game of the season. I went to Ballarat to watch because a couple of my friends play there.
Yep.
I went to watch their game and I just spoke to Luca about it. One of our main focuses this week is to try and play through the middle. If we can do that, I'm sure we can get away with 3 points.
And the fans, I know, don't just come here for the game plans and all of the talk about the coaching staff. They want to know the inside story, the goss. So Let's dish out some details. Who's the loudest in the change room? Who are the big personalities?
Oh my God, this is probably Amina. She's a funny character. She's new to the club, but she's so loud. She brings a lot of energy, I gotta say. Everyone's pretty much, you know, out there. Liz is a bit of a, yeah, she was the one in the center at the song, so she was probably, she's another one that's pretty loud, but yeah. I'm not that loud, I don't think. I'm just the quiet one that just comes.
Now, I understand we're waiting on an international clearance to come through for a lady by the name of Alan Johnson, yes. Who's the better half of Reece Saunders, I believe. We're hoping that'll come through if our compatriots over in the UK get their act together and get the clearance done. Tell us a little about her. She's obviously been training a little bit. Is she...
Yeah, I keep bugging Luca and I keep bugging her to get it sorted because, you know, I watched her play in the reserves a couple of weeks ago and I was telling Luca, like, for the past 2 weeks, I want to play with her. Like, you can tell she's she's amazing. On the ball, so composed. You can tell she's been playing in America for, like, her whole life. She brings a really loud presence, like, on the field. Yep. She's confident, she speaks, and I think we need someone like that. Yep. Like, we've got a couple of girls, but I think she'll be really good for us.
So a good leader.
Yeah.
What position does she play? What kind of a player is she?
Well, I was told she was a left back, but then I watched her play and she was playing everywhere. So as a coach, then he's loving that. So, yeah, I think he'll want to play her in the midfield, which will help us as well. Yep. So, yeah.
Must be good to have a player that can just rotate through any position. So,
she was going everywhere. I still don't know where she plays, but I was told left back, but she was the opposite when I watched her, so I'm not sure.
Plenty of flexibility. That's fantastic. And do you think she could, you know, have a similar impact to what her better half has, or her lesser half, lesser I should half. Say, in the men's team?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, she's got this confidence, like presence. On the ball, she's very confident, so I'm excited to play with her.
Fantastic. Well, Claudia, thank you so much for coming into the FNR studios and joining us here on the Lions Den, and best of luck for the game against Moreland.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and hopefully we can get away with the win.
Absolutely. We'll take a short break here on the Lions Den. Plenty more still to come, so stick with us.
You're listening to the Lions Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Lions Den here live on FNR Football Nation Radio. This is, of course, the official Preston Lions Club show. Josh Parrish here in studio with Chris Terpos, filling in for Dave Svetkovsky. And with us now, we have one of the mainstays of the men's team, Lachie Royce. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
Now, first off, is it Royce or Roos? Because I'm going off the German superstar, of course. But
We'll go with Royce.
Royce. All right, let's just get that settled off the bat. But I guess we'll get it out of the way. 0-0 draw against Essendon Royals on the weekend. Fans, players, everyone a little bit frustrated with the performance. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, you can only come off frustrated from a performance like that. But again, you just got to pick yourself up and go again. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, and it was one of those games where you probably had, I don't know how much possession, 70%. You had a lot more of the chances. Of course, Essendon ended up, you know, nearly putting in a sucker punch a couple of times, hit the post. But so maybe in the end, just be thankful that you picked up a point and move on.
Yeah, look, like I said, it's one of those things that you take the draw, you take a 1 point and you go on for the rest of the season. That 1 point could take us and get us over the line. So you never know. Look, they could have jagged one at the end. They probably had the best chances, the ones that... could have gone in. I think we maybe had 2-3 really good chances that we should have finished, but we'll take the 1 point, we move on, we forget about it, and don't let the frustration build up.
Mm.
Did Lou have much to say after the game, or immediately after the game, or did he sort of leave it for the review at training on Monday? What was his sort of feedback to the playing group following the game?
I won't say too much about it. He wasn't happy. We'll just put it that way. We've all got to pick up our act for this weekend.
Yep, big game this weekend, 100%.
Yep.
So it's your second year now at Preston, having joined it partway through last season, and you're firmly entrenched in the club now. Just looking back at last year as a whole, How did you find the Preston experience compared to some of your other previous clubs?
Yeah, look, I loved it. Preston, they welcome you in like a family. The coaching staff, the players, all the supporters, the sponsors, everyone. So it's very different in that standpoint, where everyone just accepts you and, yeah, everyone is just like a family.
And take us through your football journey. Where did you start? Where did you grow up? Just take us through the condensed Lachie Roos biography.
So I started on the Gold Coast, grew up on the Gold Coast until I was about 17, 18. Moved to Sydney. That's where I started playing the NPL in Sydney and played there for a few seasons before going over to America. And I obviously took a few of the Australian boys over there, Reece being one of them. And then eventually came back to the Gold Coast playing for Gold Coast United in the NPL in Queensland, and then just moved down to Preston, and that's obviously where Reece came along as well.
So tell us about that US college experience. How old were you when that all sort of all took place?
I was 20 heading over to college, so still underage, couldn't drink or anything like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I had a great time. It was more of a life decision. You can get your degree. Got a free degree and, yeah, had a great time. Played in a really good, a strong league over there as well. So the football standard is pretty close to an NPL, maybe just a bit below.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was awesome.
And where exactly was it in the US?
So the first 2 years was over at St. Louis, just east of St. Louis in Illinois.
Yep.
And then after that I moved over to Texas. Texas was for about a year and a bit before moving back.
Did you get to attend any major league soccer games over there while you were there?
I didn't. No, I didn't actually. I've been to a few of their stadiums with the college teams, but never went to an MLS game. I went to an NFL game, which is awesome, yep. College football game. The college football had more people at the game. Yep. They had 95,000. So they had more people at the game than the NFL. So
I've heard
that was unreal.
I've heard they make those days just a massive day out. There's barbecues in the car parks and it's crazy stuff.
Yep. Tailgating.
Yeah. And there's marching bands and all sorts, a lot of pageantry around it, I imagine.
Yeah, they're very patriotic, the Americans. So.
Don't do things by half.
No, not at all.
But moving on to Preston, second year at the club, I think my supporters will know you best for your 30-metre screamer against North Sunshine Eagles last season. Tell us about that goal and what it meant.
Oh, look, it was one of those moments where, and it could have been anyone. We have that much quality across the board that anyone could have stepped up in that moment. It was just, I'm grateful I got to have my chance. I banged one 5 minutes earlier that just was absolute rubbish. It went along the ground, so it was nothing. And then I had my second chance, and I thought, I can't stuff this one up, get some air on it. And then, yeah, the keeper was just caught out. And to put it against them, of all teams, I was stoked.
Because there's a pretty sensational atmosphere in those games, from what I've been told.
Yeah, the roar. As soon as I kind of scored, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I just heard the roar, and I went, I'll run over to the crowd.
Holy crap, I've scored the best goal in... in my career.
Yeah, it was one of those. You just look back and go, oh, hopefully we can score another one of them. But if not, take what you get. And, in the end of the day, we got 3 points. It was the most important thing. And at that, the context of the season, yeah, it was vital. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. And we do it this season instead.
Just getting back onto that goal, be honest, how many times have you replayed that back on the video?
I didn't see it for a while. Once it came up on our YouTube or our highlights, I did watch it probably at least 5-6 times. And then it was just kind of like other people showing me going, well, have you seen this goal? And I'm like, yeah, I have seen it. But I'll watch it again.
Is it the best goal you've ever scored?
No, there was probably one the same last year before I came back. I do some silly things in games and I often have cracks from halfway and for last season, just before, probably 3 games before I signed for Preston, I was able to score one of those goals from halfway where I chipped the keeper against Brisbane Strikers. So probably classify that for one of my best.
God, where was the keeper standing?
Just inside his 18. So, yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm remembering correctly now. Did you have a crack from halfway on the weekend? Was that you? I think someone did.
Yeah, so I haven't been... I've been told not to do that ever again. And if I do, I'm likely to be dropped. So you won't be seeing me doing anything silly like that again.
probably for the best, but, you know, I'm a little sad that we won't see that in the highlight reel this season. Talk us through the squad that we've got now. I mean, obviously, you've known Reece for quite a long time. What is your relationship like off the field?
Off the field, up and down. So best mates for 95% of the time. 5% of the time you have those arguments that any brother would. So, well, obviously, we're in each other's faces 24/7. So we... Obviously, just like any brother, you would fight eventually. Things build up, but then you get past it and you forget about it. It's just one of those things. We get over it in 2 minutes. So,
and there's a lot of big characters in the Preston team, I can tell already. Yeah, Breezy for one of them.
Yeah, Breezy's he's a big player, so he's good to have around. He's a leader. So it's one of those. We've got Breezy, not just Reece. We've got Ace. We've got a few of the Perth boys come over. We've got Norm, the captain, Semi. We've got a lot of the boys who all pretty much all stand up and can lead at any point in time. So it's good.
Cool. Well, looking ahead to this weekend's game, Lockie, against Altona City. We've already had a bit of a look at Altona City earlier this season in the FFA Cup where we won that game 4-1. What are you expecting from them this weekend? Because they're obviously sitting on top of the ladder now with 3 straight wins. So
yep. So they will come out firing, I know that for sure. They did last season. They put 2 passes early, so it's one of those matches where it's not just the fact that we need 3 points, but I don't want to be losing 3 points to them. Yep. I'm not a big fan of how they approached our game, and I wouldn't say that they're the only team, but they were very physical,
yep.
Just the things off the ball. So it's just one of those things. We need to come, bring our A game, and try and knock them over early.
Well, that game kicks off on Saturday evening at 6 p.m. down at Kim Reserve in Altona.
How do you manage the emotions when a team is approaching a game like that? I know, you know, and how do you keep your teammates from blowing their tops when maybe the referee isn't doing anything about it and you're getting rough treatment?
To be fair, it's kind of you lean on each other. At moments, I'm about to lose my head, not just at the other team but the ref sometimes, and it takes someone to pull you in to go, look, just it's not worth it. Because if I was to get a red card, it's going to cost the team. I think I've done it for Breezy. I've done it for Reece. I've done it for a few of the boys where you just go, just forget about it, move on. Because the most important thing is having 11 players out there. The only time, or not the only time, but most of the time, another team is going to only stand a chance against us when we have 10 players on the field, as seen last year. I think we had 3 or 4 red cards, perhaps, and we lost most of them.
And I did want to ask you about one of the new boys who's come in. Correct me if I'm wrong, might have been his first appearance on the weekend, Julio. What kind of player is he? Was it that his first competitive game, or have I got that completely wrong?
No, that's correct. Julio, he's, I'm not quite sure what's happening with Julio, but he's good to have around. He's very skillful on the ball. He's a class player. He's a class act. So it was Semi. We have Semi Mason-Smith who came in, but that's his second on the weekend.
Mm.
So it's good to have both those boys join us. Moving forward, we'll see how we go.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a juggling act for Lou at the moment with the 5 visa players as it is, and only managing to squeeze 4 onto the team sheet. Mm. So
it's definitely a headache, but it's a good one for the coach.
Good one to have, yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Lions Den, and best of luck for this weekend's big game.
Thanks for having me.
Lockie Royce joining us here on the Lions Den. We're going to take another short break before we speak to a club legend, so stick with us.
You're listening to the Lions Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
This is the Preston Lions Club Show here live on FNR Football Nation Radio with Josh Parrish and Chris Terpos in studio tonight. And Chris, it's time to speak to a club legend who's on the line.
Yes, welcome Gary Ward.
Hi guys, how are you going?
Very well, mate. We absolutely love listening and speaking to you about your playing days at Preston. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your football journey before arriving at Preston. I understand you were pretty much being a full-time footballer at the age of 16. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, if somebody offers you the opportunity to leave school, whether you finished it or not, and go and kick a ball for a living, it's very hard to turn down, even if that's not what your father wants. But anyway, yeah.
And tell us a little bit about your football journey before you arrived at Preston. How did it all start?
Well, my son, who's 24, Simon, says to me, you know, I haven't really kicked my career off yet. You know, I've had these injuries, and yet you seem to have had a career before I've even started mine. And I say to him, well, you know, players are playing until they're, you know, 36, 37, 38 today. And just because I start at 16, 17 doesn't mean to say you can, you know, you can kick it off at big time at 24. You can play until you're 38. So, yes, I did have quite a career before I came to Australia. You know, I mean, like living on three continents. I mean, Australia being the third, it was quite an interesting phone call to take when someone offered me the opportunity to go and play in the North American Soccer League. I mean, you know, it's just you think to yourself, really, am I up to that? Am I good enough? Or, you know, why would somebody be making me this offer? But you do it, and you know, you rise to the occasion, and you end up doing well. And no matter where I've gone, I've always done well, and I've always won trophies. And I guess at Preston, it was the same. So yeah, I played a lot of football. I played football in the English second division. I find it interesting that today, any Australian player that goes to play in the English second division comes back as a Socceroon, a guest player. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking, really? You know, I mean, okay, we can't all play in the English Premier League. But I mean, if you're playing for Hull or you're playing for, I didn't mean that because Steve Irvine's a great friend of mine. I'm very, very proud of what Jack's doing. And he should be playing in the English Premier League. But, you know, to be playing in what was the old English Division 2 as a 17, 18, 19 year old, and I, you know, end up, I play for Preston, which I was absolutely proud to have done. I didn't think that playing, you know, late in Orient or, you know, muddy fields in front of 7,000 people was that glamorous. But it seems today that, you know, if you're playing in the you know, the championship, as they call it today, and you can now be a guest player, you can be on big money and come back and play in the A-League. And I just think it's all a bit, you know, overrated. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, look, there's a lot of footballers like me, and the beauty of Facebook and today's internet and connections is that we are all connected. And I can talk to Peter Blasby, I can talk to Gary Cole, I can talk to Graham Hayes and Peter Catholis, and we all discuss, you know, the good and bad of everything that we've done. But I tell you what, I think we played in a beautiful era of football. I think Australia in the National Soccer League in the 80s was the place to be. And, you know, I was very proud to be at Preston. That's a long answer for a short question, wasn't it?
Well, tell us a story about how you did arrive at Preston, because I understand you were originally going to sign with another club before you arrived at Preston.
Well, I'd already signed for Apia. I mean, like, you know, I know I've said this before. I didn't know that I didn't know Preston wasn't a National Soccer League side. I just didn't know. I mean, you know, I got an opportunity to sign for Preston or to sign for Apia, and I signed for Apia only because I didn't know either. I didn't know Australia. I mean, I'm an Englishman. I live in England. Yeah. What do I know about Australia except the duckbill platypuses that you learn at school? You know? I don't know anything. You know, I didn't even bring a jumper. I thought, I'm going to Australia. I don't need a jumper. What do I need a jumper for? I'm going to Australia. I landed. It was freezing. Goodness, man, it's snow. This place is cold. But anyway, so you know, I mean, look. I was offered a contract at Apia and Preston, and I signed for Apia, and then they phoned me at, you know, I guess maybe 2 weeks before I was about to take up the ticket and go, and said, you know, we don't have any visa spots left. I'm sorry, didn't mean to disappoint you. So I ended up talking with John Branoff, and next thing I've arrived in Melbourne and playing for Preston. But you know, these are the little twists of fate that happen to you, because. Yep. You know, I mean, I finished my career at Apia, you know, as life would have it, and when we were national champions. So, you know, maybe that was just meant to be, but yep. I'm so glad that I wasn't denied the five magnificent seasons I had at Preston.
Well, speaking of that, 1979 as a 23-year-old, arriving in State League Division 1, what was your first impression of the club, other than the cold?
Well, I was surprised how many supporters that Preston had. I mean, you know, I think the first game I played was some sort of cup match somewhere. I'm not quite sure where it was, but, you know, I wasn't happy about being, you know, going that far to play a game and having to sit on the bench. And, you know, I wasn't happy about that. And Tony Vizzino and I have had a big kiss and make up, which is great, because I guess, you know, coming from a background of maybe where it was full-time and I've come into a part-time environment, I expected more. But I was pleasantly surprised by the noise and the gathering of the Preston Macedonia supporters. I mean, and their passion for it, because they had so many flags, they had so many banners. And I went, oh goodness me, you guys really get into it. And that was something I was thinking of when you asked me if I would have a chat with you today. Yep. Was what it was like for me when I didn't play for Preston, and the very first game I had to play against Preston, which was for Brunswick Juventus at Olympic Park number 2, and it was a huge crowd. And I scored the first goal of the game. I held off Robbie Dunn. I slotted the ball into the corner in Steve Potter was in goal, and it was a really good finish. And it was the first time I turned to the crowd, and I saw all the Preston supporters there, and they were dead still and silent. And I looked and I thought, and my gut, my stomach just turned, and I thought, I've made the wrong decision. and of course, the Brunswick Juventus supporters, they were all jumping for joy, saying, you know, Gary Ward scored, great goal, whatever. You know, but I looked at those Preston supporters and I thought, I betrayed you. You know, so, you know what it's like? It's really difficult. You've had 5 amazing seasons. You know, I had a couple of fractured legs, and, you know, we won a few things, and we had some great players, and Preston was able to attract so many good players. And in fact, if you look at Preston's players and think, it doesn't matter whether you want to go Gary Cole or Warren Spink or Steve Smith, or these, I'm just talking forwards, or George McMillan, or you could just roll them off.
Yep.
And just think how many wonderful footballers, you know, played for Preston Macedonia. And I was one of them, and I was absolutely proud to have done it. I don't have a lot to do with Apia. I don't have anything to do with Brunswick Juventus. I don't have anything to do with West Adelaide Hellas. I have very little to do with Melbourne Croatia, even though they invited me to something last Friday night somewhere. But I have everything to do with Preston. I was in, you know, I've obviously been invited to Melbourne a couple of times for different things, and being one of your ambassadors.
Yep.
You know, that's for a guy that's, you know, 62, that's made me extremely proud and happy, I've got to tell you.
Excellent. Well, talking about some of those players, Gary, you in 79, you joined the likes of, yeah, as we said, George McMillan, Lube Petrovsky, Steve Beach, and some of the other players actually joining you that season included Robbie Cullen, Gordon Flavell, Jeff Faulkner, Lou Kastner. There's some great names amongst that lot. Just what are some of your memories and recollections of those guys?
Well, you know, I like their attitude towards everything. I mean, you know, it's not every day that you go training and a few hundred supporters turn up every training session. I mean, every training session. The press would turn up. Preston was a glamorous club. And if we, let's say that we, you know, when we got into the National Soccer League and we played against South Melbourne Hellas for the first time at Middle Park in at that level, well, that suited me, because the better the standard, the better I played, because I was used to the pressure of more professional football. So when you get to that, and we played at Middle Park, and I know we won that game, I think it was 2-1 or 1-0, I think Dougie Brown scored, but we were really a good side, and we played so well. And whether you had Alan Whittle in midfield or Zarko Ojikov, or you look at those players and you think, wow, I had the privilege of playing with so many good players. I mean, people said, Gary, you were a really good goal scorer. You finished it off. You did a good job. And I would say, well, you know, you could say that, but if you've got really good players around you and they bring you into the game and they support you, like Oji, for instance, right? I mean, if he got the ball and, you know, you're in the centre forward position, or I might be moving off to the left or to the right. I always wanted to keep the defender on his toes. In fact, I might even drop back into the midfield so he couldn't mark me at all, because he didn't want to get out of position. So, you know, you give yourself all the options. Strikers today don't give themselves options. They let themselves get marked out of the game. I look at the A-League and I fall asleep. I just go, for goodness sake, where's the mobility in you guys? Get mobile. Stop playing two-touch football like it's a training game. But anyway, you get Ojikov, right? and he would turn around and he would get the ball, and just like a bull, just like a bull at a gate, he would come charging through, bang, bang, knock their midfielders out of the way and look up. And then all of a sudden my eyes light up and I push the defender off and I come off and make some space. And he smashes it into my feet really hard. Are you a good footballer? Yes, I can kill it dead on either side. It doesn't matter. Just give it to me hard and low. And then he moves into space and he gives me an option. And I might have Robbie Cullen making an option on one side. I might have all sorts of different people. I mean, making that Preston were mobile. They made options. Peter Ollerton made them very, very mobile. We got super, super fit. We were really mobile. So Odjikov comes, but he comes right through like a bullet at a gate. He gets whack in there. He says to me in his, you know, in his accent, he goes, "Play the football, play the football." You know, and I just go, am I going to love this or what? And I lay it off to him because he's created space and I can peel off the defender and I can hit some space. And you wonder why the 82, 83 Preston sides were so good. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, oh, I'm getting off track again. What was your question?
Well, maybe we might talk a little bit about that 1980 season, Gary. Obviously, Brian Edgley.
Sorry, I've been off. Sorry.
No, all good, mate. All good. Brian Edgley was appointed as the new coach in 1980, and as we know, unfortunately, Brian sadly passed away earlier this year. What were your memories of? We haven't really heard much about Brian. Actually, what are some of your memories of Brian as a coach and as a person?
Well, you know, Brian loved the players. You know, he wasn't a disciplinarian in terms of saying, okay, guys, you're late for training, I'm going to fine you. He was, you're late for training, you must have been having some fun somewhere.
Yep.
So he was, you know, he was very much, he made you feel relaxed and at home. You know, he's the sort of coach that would put his arm around you and want to have a laugh. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, like if you said, okay, guys, look, you know, all fun aside, I just need you to do 100 sit-ups really quickly.
Yep.
You kind of just do it anyway, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So Brian was, he was a player's coach. Tactically, he wasn't that good. But it didn't matter because the players were so good, they could work it all out themselves.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I didn't have to say to Connor Pacinas, that was a great tackle. Even though I would shout across the park and tell him it was a great tackle, right? Well, I mean, now, Con's a good story because Con said to me, remember, I think I might have told you this.
Yep.
Con said to me when he was playing for the youth team, he said, I want to play for the first. I want to get in the first squad. And I said to him, I said, what was your name again? He said, Con Opelinas. And he said, but I thought I'd come to you because you've got a lot of influence at the club. And I said to him, okay, look, you're brave. That's good. So where do you play? He said, I'm a right fullback. And I said, are you any good? He said, I'm really good. And I said, okay. And I went to the coach and I said, this young Connor Pacinas, I think we should get him into the first team, training with the first team squad.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's get him training with the first team squad. So he started training. And then he came to me about a week later and he said, I've got a problem. I said, what's that? You're training well, Con. He said, I haven't really got any decent boots. Like, you know, I'm a bit short on the sort of kit side. I said, leave it to me. So I don't know who I spoke to at the time. It might have been John Branoff. It could have been Branko. It could have been any of those magnificent people. I said, look, young Con's a good player. He's got stacks of potential. He's got the right attitude, and he's got good feet. So why don't we just get him some boots and kit him out and put him in a first track suit? Yeah, okay. Because that's the sort of influence I had at the club.
Yep.
You know, they listened to me. And so I think about maybe 5 or 6 weeks later, he got his debut off the bench for the first. He was 19. He was ecstatic.
Yep.
And he made a tackle on somebody. Seriously, it was an absolute cracker. He almost put that guy into the fence with the ball. He really just nailed it. And I was up in the forward position. I shouted, and I said, you know, it's like a Connor reserve in those days. It, you know, could be anything from sort of 4,000 to 8,000 people, depending on, you know, whether it was police on horseback and who you were playing, you know. And I said, Con. He goes, what? I said, what a effing tackle that was. Well done. Well done, son. What? You've got him in your pocket, Con. You've got him in your pocket. And he goes, have I? I said, you better believe it, boy. So look, it was good to see him go on and have an amazing career with Preston. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, we're hoping to get Con in over the next couple of weeks so we can get him to corroborate all those stories, Gary.
Yeah, well, yeah, he will too, because guess what? You know, I set him up.
without
ability, I mean, all laughs aside, Con had amazing ability. Now, I would say to him, look, this is what a forward does, right? A forward's job is to make a defender's life a nightmare, okay? That's it. Your job is to make their job a nightmare. How do I mark this guy? He's too mobile. He's very aggressive. He attacks. He's fit. He's running. He's driving me crazy. What do I do, coach, to control this guy? That is what you need. That's what a striker needs to do. So what you need to do, Connor, as a defender, is say, mate, I don't care what you do. I've got you in my pocket anyway. You can run around like you've got a rocket up your bottom. It doesn't matter. I'm going to mark my space. You want to come past my territory? I'll put you into the sight. I'll put you into the touchline. So I used to say that to him so that he knew if a winger comes at you, show them the line. Don't let them come inside. Don't let them tuck you inside. Show them the line. Just stand on their shoulder so they can't come inside, and then put them into the bloody touchline, right? Because there's nowhere for them to go. But don't let them come inside. So, you know, being an ex-professional footballer, I could say to him, look, I've been coached at the highest level. I mean, so it was good. Like I'm very proud of Con, very very proud of him.
Gary, we wanted to ask you about your top goal scorer that 1980 season until you suffered a bad broken leg. Can you recall how that actually happened?
Well, you don't forget things like that, do you? I mean, let me think. How many times did I break my leg? Yes, I can remember them all.
I think it was twice, yeah.
It was one of those things, right, that it was a shame because I'd really started to do very, very well, right? And as Tony Fazina has said to me, you know, why didn't you treat Australian football seriously, Gary? I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, I don't know. He said, you should have played for the Socceroos. You know, Rudi Gutendorf wanted you to play for the Socceroos. You had so much ability left and right. You could have played in midfield. You could play on the left wing. You could score goals up front. It doesn't matter. You know, obviously a good footballer. Why don't you take it seriously? And I said to him, I should have done. You know, isn't it interesting that hindsight is a marvellous thing, you know? I mean, I might turn around and say, hey, guess what? I won 3 cups with Melbourne, Croatia. I won the league with Preston. I won the National League with Apia. I was top goal scorer in every club I was at. I might turn around and say, well, that's not bad, but that's not enough. That was never going to be enough.
Yep.
I should have taken Tony Vazina's advice and taken it seriously and actually been an absolute superstar in this country instead of being just, you know, pretty good. Oh, yeah, sorry, broken leg.
Okay. Yeah,
so Ante Bulova, yeah, you know, Melbourne, Croatia, right, yep. Preston Blames, Olympic Park, you know, 10,000 people. And I think I was playing quite well. And, he just collected me off the ball. Yep. And the worst thing about that was, Chris, is that, you know, you hear the crack.
Yep.
You know, and if you're in a stadium where you get this sort of amphitheater effect, and I heard the crack when he went in over the top. I heard it. And I'm laying there thinking, holy shit, that didn't sound good. I was off balance. I was back out in the defense. And he just collected me. So what does that mean to me? It means the guy's got no ability. Because if you have to do that to a player, I mean, where would you be? You'd be banned for life if you did that today.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, let's just take Gary Ward out of the game. Let's just take him out of the game for 6 months and see how we go. Because he's obviously doing well, he's obviously scoring goals. Preston are a great side. Let's take their weapon out of the game early and put him in hospital. So, you know, I've got no time for mediocrities in football. People like Ante Bulova, make sure that goes out loud across your airwaves. I've got no time for people like that. I just want to clean people up for the sake of taking them out of the game because they're good footballers.
Yep. So correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't a great time. It was a cup final. It was Melbourne Crash. It was Olympic Park.
Yep.
And You know, I always played well at Olympic Park. I think the best and worst game all in one I had at Olympic Park was the Doherty Cup final, Melbourne Croatia versus Preston Macedonia. It was absolutely full, and I scored both goals for Melbourne Croatia. And they were cracking goals. One was a header, and one was a you know, I think Biskic played the ball inside, and I hit it from well outside the box and bent it and tried. He just couldn't get near it. It just was coming in and coming in and coming in from wide out and bent and bent and bent and went in 2-0. And I see all the celebration photographs I've got of that, but it means nothing to me because I did it against Preston.
Yep.
Gary, you know what I mean?
Yep. Gary, your last season at Preston, 1983, was arguably probably the one that got away for the club. But before we get to that, actually, we've talked about Zarko Wojakov. So 1983, I think Preston were sitting on top of the ladder for probably about half the season. And I think you got injured probably about maybe 7 or 8 rounds before the end of the year, and I think it all fell apart after that. Can you recall that time at the club and how we let it slip?
Well, you know, I was top goal scorer in the National Soccer League at the time.
Yep.
I remember Les Murray showing the chart, and it said Gary Ward 1, I think John Cosmina 2. Might have been Marshall Soper 3. It could have been Gary Cole 4. Claude Lucchese was 5. So Claude being my striking partner. I think I had 16 goals. I think Claude had 11.
Yep.
So you think about that with there's 7 or 8 games to go, and we were playing Footscray, and I got smashed in my leg really badly, and. You know, I just thought, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, we would go to Brisbane. Let's say we played Brisbane. George Best was playing for Brisbane. He played 4 or 5 guest games, and Preston went up to play against Brisbane. And we had Alan Withall. We had so many good players. And I scored one or two goals. We were unbelievable. The Macedonian support in Brisbane at Richlands was beyond belief. When we got there, because a lot of people wanted to see George Best play as well. But, you know, we were there, and Peter Ollerton just said, I think we're going to smash them today. And I said, oh, I can feel it. You know, we were on top of our game. I don't think from the middle of 82 to the middle of 83, I think we might have lost one game.
Mm-hmm.
We built on the 82 side by adding some really high-quality players. You think of Richard Miranda, yep. You think of Peter Boyle, you think of Alan Whittle, you think of Gordon Flavel. You just go on and on and on, and Zora Ilioski.
Yep.
You look at those players and just go, oh, my God, I tell you what a squad. And just build on it for the 83 by adding Ojikov.
Yep.
And
George Campbell.
And, and Georgie Campbell. What a great player Georgie was. You know, and you know, the biggest mistake I've made in Australian football was leaving Preston. It's the biggest mistake because, you know, I'd had that injury again. I missed the last 7 or 8 games. We finished runners-up, and it should never have been the case. We were clearly the best team in the country. And everyone would admit that today even. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. You talk to Peter Catholis. You can talk to Jerry Gomez. You can talk to Sydney people, because obviously I live in Sydney. You can talk to anybody at that particular time, and they would say that Preston side in 83 was clearly the best team in the country by a mile. You know, and we finished runners-up, I think, was it St George? Or?
Yeah, St George and Sydney City, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And it should never have been the case. It was an injustice. But Claude, I think he was working for Rank Xerox at the time. He got something overseas. He had to go on. He said, look, you know, I've got to do my business. So I'm injured, and Claude goes overseas, and all of a sudden, Preston's without its strike force.
Yep.
You know, and we had so much momentum. But, you know, I can be here now at my age and look back and go, wasn't that just fantastic? Okay, we didn't win the championship, but, you know, we were a champion side anyway. We had champion supporters, a champion club, and I could be very proud of it. I'm happy.
Excellent. Well, Gary, that sounds as good a place as any to leave things. We'll have to have you on again, because I'm sure there are so many more stories and tales we need to hear from that era. But thank you so much for coming on the Lions Den.
That's an absolute pleasure. Anytime. and I love you all.
Good on you, Gary.
Gary Ward, okay, Preston legend, joining us there. The man can spin a yarn, can't he?
He certainly can.
And well, we didn't have nearly enough time to. I think we got a third of
Yep, I've got another page of notes here that we could have gone through.
I think we'll have to have him on again. As most of these legendary interviews go, you just don't have time to get through everything. So we'll have to leave them wanting more. But Chris, thank you so much for joining
Josh.
Me today.
Thank you, mate.
Fantastic to have you filling in, and I'm sure we'll have you in the FNR Towers very, very soon, but we'll leave it there. Make sure you get down and watch both teams this weekend, because two very tasty fixtures coming up. Together we are Preston, and we go again. This has been the Lions Den here on FNR. Speak to you again next week.
Preston, Mark, get those.
Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo. Near post, Zinni. It's in. And again, Warren Spink has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot! What a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
Preston.